Welcome back to Calvary Life. This is the podcast for the membership of Calvary Baptist Church and anybody else interested out there in or interested in local church life. And we're glad to be here. I'm Charles Uptain.
I'm Paul Thompson.
And today we're going to continue our discussion on the Nine Marks of a Healthy Church, a book by Mark Dever. And last week we kind of looked at the first five of the marks and really gave an assessment of Calvary. And so today we want to finish that. So we're going to do 6 through 9. And so Paul, let's start off by discussing really discipleship. This is, I guess, one of the big moves of church life in general in the last decade or maybe even the last 15 or so years is towards discipleship. And so this mark really hits home to what we believe a church should be. So how would you think Calvary is doing when it comes to our discipleship and growth?
I always say to people when they're in our membership class coming through that when you finish hearing all this content that we're going to push your way, I hope you'll walk out of here thinking two big themes, discipleship and missions, and you'll think about it this way, the distinction between those two really just being location, because we want to be making disciples wherever we go, so our mission partners, partnerships, places where we go, our aim is to make disciples there. So really discipleship, we want to be really just one of our clearest marks. That being said, man, this is probably an area where we have learned on the go more than any other. Mm-hmm. We started with a desire. We knew that we needed to do more. I mean, you know, we went back to some things that we read early on that influenced us. And any of these books you hear me recommending or Charles recommending, these are really things that would be helpful for you to understand. If you're a member of our church at Calvary and you're wondering, why is it that they do some of the things they do or what's beneath the surface, what philosophy drives this? Well, of course, one of those is the book that we're referencing in these last two podcasts, which, by the way, this is our 39th. I can't believe that, 39. We're like almost a year into this thing. What makes for a healthy church? No, Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. But also way back, we're reading The Trellis and the Vine and realizing that Sunday worship is great and it's essential, but it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient really to make disciples. We need to be in tighter circles of accountability. We need to be in tighter circles of prayer and support and communication and application, all those things. So and we started really aiming for that. But I think we're learning on the go. So I don't know. That one's a little bit hard to measure. Let me say it this way. It's a bit of a bell curve. For the people at Calvary who have just dived into discipleship and they've gotten into D groups, discipleship groups, or they've been discipling other people in maybe less formal but still intentional ways, I think those folks would tell you it's probably the best thing that's happened to them spiritually.
Yeah.
That has been more important, more beneficial than really anything they've done in the last 5-10 years. So in that sense, I think it's great. So for a lot of people, it's been super. But we're still trying to get more people connected to that because old ways die hard. And, you know, what is that they say? What is Peter Drucker famous for saying? That culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
And so as we try to strategize and program for discipleship and that sort of thing, or at least, no, program is not the right word, Charles, structure. We try to put some structures in place so you can find discipleship opportunities, you can avail yourself of them. I'd just like to see more people doing it. So I think in discipleship, I think we're growing, and I think our people have deeper roots. Personally, I think they have better understandings of doctrine, theology. So vertically, I think they're growing. And those folks that are really committed to each other in discipleship are really growing in their horizontal relationships. I think, you know, people's closeness, relationship, connection, support, care for one another is really growing. But that's an area that we want much to develop.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we've looked at the last decade or so is really, and I think it came out of church growth, but then to this idea of growing people instead of growing the church, so to speak, or the growth numbers, is to have an actual pathway, have a strategy to discipleship. And I know that we really hit that when we had Three Circles and wanted people to really avail themselves to corporate worship and life group and then some kind of life-on-life model of discipleship. And I think we had a good buy-in from that. I think at one time we had maybe close to 500 people that were doing
some sort of discipling relationships.
Yeah. And so that was a great start, but I think at times, you know, when we start heavy and we really promote heavy, we get good momentum. But then, you know, the time wears and people, like you said, go back to their norms and things kind of go back to how they used to be in some ways. And so I think it's constantly us trying to better communicate that this is not something that's a program that you run through, but instead this should be the lifestyle of a Christian.
Yeah, churches like ours, we always have to fight against that nature to be program dependent or program driven. And I think some of our folks have gotten to that point, like you're describing. That is their lifestyle. They can't imagine not doing it. I think some things we found through the years of doing this, just kind of figuring this out as we go and practicing it, is that once people develop those close-knit relationships, they don't want to let those go. And I can appreciate that. When you've got some people that are in the foxhole with you, you want to keep that, and people that you know that you can trust, and people that you know are going to pray for you, and people that you've been through some spiritual stuff with, and you're praying for each other's kids and spouses and families and all those things. But our next challenge, which we really keep pushing our folks towards, and we talk about this a lot more as we come to the end of the spring, we've got some initiatives coming on that, will be to push people to not only help each other be better disciples, but make some disciples of people who aren't followers of Christ at all right now.
Right.
And so I give sort of a qualified positive grade to us on discipleship, and then I think our people are becoming or desiring God more, desiring to know God more, be more like Christ. A lot of our folks are doing that. I think the next stage for us and where the evidence really show that we're succeeding is when we're seeing more people going out there and actually making disciples.
Yeah, and I was really pleased with an open class we just finished on Wednesday night that was called Discipling. And really the point of that class and the point of Key Mahone and Chuck Arney, who taught that, was to say that this should be natural for us to not just do what the church is doing, but it's more about who can I look for in my life that I can disciple in one way or the other. And they gave a lot of tools, and just really was a good open class for the folks who were in there to think about, okay, this is something that I should be doing as a believer, not waiting on the program to be put out there by the church.
And you spoke of the pathway, and that's something we're committed to. We want to make sure people understand, how is it, what do you expect of me as a church member? And what are you going to do to help me grow? And what can I look to participate in? What is this going to look like for me personally? And what is this going to look like for me in serving others? That whole pathway, we'll be talking about that again in May, and not rolling out something new, but lessons we've learned through our three circles and lessons we've learned through our discipleship groups and strategies over the last several years that have helped us tweak some things. And I think this will give you a fresh look at it and just kind of a new perspective, not new things, same principles, same ideas, but now with just some increased clarity and focus and sharpness to it. So I think what's coming, we'll be talking about that on a Sunday night in May, a special night together as a church family, but that process will really, really help.
Yeah, I'm really excited about just the question format in that, the ways that we can ask each other questions over coffee and just really challenge one another to, are we doing this thing called discipleship? Are we growing as disciples?
Yeah, and that's the aim. And I know that's part of Mark 6. The aim is that we have theologically sound, biblically accurate growth. You know, we're not just trying to get more people here. I mean, we would love to have people here. Ideally, we'd love to have people here that want to know God, want to grow up in the Lord, and all those things. But, you know, the mark of a healthy church is not just its attendance, not just its giving, not just its, I don't know, level of satisfaction, what's our customer service rating, that sort of thing. But I think the real measure is going to be, how are we growing personally in godliness? How are we growing in missional effectiveness? Do we really look like a church that belongs to Christ and lives for Him? So we're really on the theme of healthy biblical spiritual growth. I think we're doing pretty well, but I want to say this to our folks so you hear this too. It's not an either or. Our aim is not just to, you know, let's just be sharp here ourselves and let's just really focus on us and our personal spiritual growth and disregard the needs of people who don't know Christ. No, that's not the aim. It really is a both and, that we become just so enamored with God and our desire to know Him and love Him and serve Him is just so pronounced that we want to bring other people into that. That's just the whole idea. We want to bring you into what we're enjoying and experiencing too. Yep. So then the growth can be both and. That's what we want to see. That's the ideal.
Yep.
So I'll give us a middle grade on that one.
All right. Over on to Mark 7, which is biblical church leadership. So how would you say we as a church are doing in understanding biblical church leadership? And really, I guess my aim for this, or my thought behind biblical church leadership, is the role of the congregation and then the role of the leadership that the church sees in elders and deacons. And so how would you think we as Calvary are doing when it comes to biblical leadership?
Yeah, I'll give us an A plus on biblical church leadership. Primarily for me, I'm going to give myself an A plus on that one. Now, let me throw something out there that's counterintuitive for folks when we talk about church leadership. This would be an ideal for us, okay, that every person in the church see themselves as an integral part of this body to the point that we do have a responsibility for each other. And I remember something that we heard when we were at that Nine Marks weekend, or this idea of a church being almost self-pastoring. Mm-hmm. Not that pastoral leadership doesn't matter, elder leadership doesn't matter, good, godly, wise leadership is not vital, which I think it necessarily is, absolutely is. But the idea that what if we really intentionally, not just incidentally or occasionally, but intentionally cared for each other so that we really are praying for each other, or we really are challenging each other sometimes, and even if necessary, we even correct each other sometimes. So we're helping people live a godly life, so we're really doing that for each other. And if we do that, then I think every level of what we would call leadership is enhanced by that. When it comes to biblical church leadership, I think Calvary has embraced, and I think it's probably getting pretty close, if we're not there yet, to really becoming part of our DNA of how we are structured for leadership.
Yeah.
That we recognize the proper biblical role of elders, both lay and paid elders. These guys are not an advisory committee. They're not an executive board. They don't function as like trustees of a business, but really try to give pastoral care to the church, direction and guidance. I think we're working on helping the church understand proper biblical authority, and that the church has a final responsibility to make wise and godly decisions as a body. If we lack one thing, Charles, my personal concern would be this one. It's our general response to authority. And I'm not talking about pastoral authority. You need to do what I say. Don't question me because I'm the leader. I'm not talking about that. That's maybe sort of an old fundamentalist kind of understanding of biblical authority. I'm talking about the idea of submitting to any authority at all, that the Bible has authority over me, mm-hmm. that the church, and particularly its leaders as we teach, the authority of elders is carried out in what we teach from the Bible, and that, again, not my personal opinions directing or correcting, but the scriptures being taught, correcting and directing. I think we have a little ways to go in that sense of submission to that authority, that, no, the Bible does correct me, and the church does have authority. The church has not only the right to, but the responsibility to speak to issues in my life. So the church ought to be able to speak to problems in my marriage, mm-hmm. or how I'm parenting my kids, or how I'm conducting my business life. I don't think that's unique to Calvary as a problem. I think that's just kind of part of our modern American church culture, that we're consumeristic and, you know, we come to receive things that we want and reject things that we don't. But I think we're going to grow in maturity more when we submit to the authority of what God has established as authorities, and recognize that sometimes that's sort of unpleasant. But instead of getting upset or getting offended, going home saying, "Okay, I need to hear that. I need to learn that," and being committed to the body that you're a part of to be able to receive that. You know, not just leaving or bouncing around from place to place to hear what you want to hear, get what you want from the whole system, but saying, "No, I'm going to submit to these authorities that God has placed in my life for my good." And I'm going to listen, and I'm going to respond to that.
Yeah, so it's back to submitting to one another, as Scripture, as Ephesians tells us. You know, even I had a discussion about this in the membership class on Sunday about the individualism of our way of life really goes against this idea of that we're members of a body, and that we all take care of one another, and we all can speak to one another, and we have to submit to one another. I think that's really what you're getting at there in that sense.
And yeah, and I guess, you know, the challenge here, what I hope people are hearing, the challenge is you have to be willing to humbly take it. You know, it's like a family meeting. If you guys are having conflict in your family and you see this thing's escalating and different members of family are off talking about or chirping at each other and everything, say, no, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk.
Yeah.
And you don't really have the option to just check out of that or, no, I'm not going to be part of that. No, you're part of this family. You're going to be in this. You're going to hear this. You're going to respond to this. And yeah. So I think if we escalate our sense of commitment to the church as family and we express our love to each other as brothers and sisters, then sometimes that love necessarily means some tough love times, some uncomfortable times, but all necessary, you know, all necessary times. So I think as a whole, again, I'm pretty positive, really, Charles, on most of these biblical marks. I think on the idea of biblical church leadership and authority, I think we're trending upwards on that. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of things still to be fleshed out.
Yeah. Let me ask you one thing before we move on, and that's back to the two, having elders and lay and paid, as you said. There's been questions lately just in asking us in different meetings we've had of what we actually do as elders. And so you want to just speak to that of what do you see the lay elders and the paid elders doing for the church in just a few seconds, since we're on that topic?
I would say a quick summary would be elders are trying to guard the health of the church. So some of that would be guarding, teaching theology, philosophy, general direction. Are we heading in the direction generally we ought to be going, or are there some things that we need to be correcting? Part of that guarding is also just trying to chart wise courses for the future. So looking at big issues that might impact us, how we're going to use our finances moving forward, how we're going to be staffed, what our gatherings are going to look like, what are we lacking, big picture, like when we start talking about church health things, what are we missing, what elements are weak that need to be strengthened. So those kind of general sense of direction and guidance. But a large percentage of our time is really very basic and very close to just kind of grassroots, and that's praying for people, talking to people personally, trying to stay in as close a contact with the members as we can, mm-hmm. divvying up those members for contact, bringing back that information to pray, and really just sort of responding in whatever way we need to in those moments, trying with wisdom and in godliness and grace, how do we respond to each of those needs and situations, circumstances as we find them. So when you think about what elders are doing, you know, we're not sitting around trying to micromanage every part of everything and, you know, what color the bathroom is going to be or, you know, what this committee is going to be doing. We're really talking about the health and life of the church. And to that degree, let me just say this on behalf of the elders to the congregation, I would commend to you what the elders are doing. They spend much more time just thinking about how you're doing spiritually, how we can support you, how we can help you, how we can pray for you. And then we take what we hear from you individually, and we meld that all together collectively, and we say, what do we need to be doing better as a church?
Yeah. And then I like the idea that, you know, because we are congregationally ruled, so to speak, we turn that around, and the elders will bring a proposal to the church. You know, and the church, though, is the ones who then will vote to the budget, vote the budget, vote different things about what's going on in the life of the church in the way that we keep moving forward. You know, the elders aren't leading as in we're planning and just telling you what we're going to do. You know, that's not the role.
Yeah, we're not going to make any major decisions, anything that affects the life of the church that we don't bring to the church and ask the church to approve of, endorse, support, consider, decide.
Yeah. And one more thing before we move on from this, and this is because it's been something that has been a problem, and I just want to see how you think it's going now, which is the idea that the pastors are the ones that are doing the ministry. You know, years back, it was if there was a hospital visit to be made, you know, the membership expected the pastors to be making it. Do you think we've made improvement there? Almost back to your first conversation about you saying that all the members need to take the role in that. And are you seeing that more healthy now than it has been?
I think so. You know, there are always going to be pockets of that, of, you know, just expectations. I will say this, I could, probably other pastors could, some of us could be doing better at that and giving more time to that. That's always something I can improve on. There's always something we could be doing more of. But I'm finding more and more that, like if you're talking about, say, a situation of somebody in the hospital, that if I'm one of the ones that goes, by the time I go, two or three members of their small group have already been, or their D group's already been, or, you know, they've already had multiple contacts, you know, that sort of thing. I'm seeing that more and more. I think that's healthy. Yeah. Are people caring for one another? And I hope, again, if you're listening, I'll use this as an opportunity to share a message with our folks and for you and your church, if it's not ours. Graciously receive that as the body ministering to you.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to absolve myself of those responsibilities or the church staff, but, you know, for 500, 600, 700 people, you know, if you think of the number of people that aren't necessarily here every Sunday, but that would flow through here in, a given month, 700 different people, I can't keep up with all those.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not possible. It's not feasible. But if you allow the church to minister to you, now, if we're not ministering to each other, then, yeah, we're failing. And so, but I think more and more, I think we do a pretty good job at that.
Yeah.
I'm sure it could be better, and somebody may be listening and say, yeah, well, no one visited me. We're imperfect, and sometimes people fall through the cracks. I will say this too. This maybe should go without saying, but doesn't. If you're listening and you're a Calvary person, please don't assume that we know right. what you think we know about someone's condition or hospitalization or situation. Often we don't, or we don't know till way after the fact. And I'll say just another thing. This is a personal one, Charles. I am on Facebook, but I'm not a slave to Facebook. I may post something there, and then I don't pick it up again for a day.
Right.
Don't assume just because you have posted something on Facebook that that's the same thing as communicating that to us. I'll have people say to me, no one came to visit me in the hospital, so I had no idea. Well, it was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Well, again, not an excuse. It's just reality. I've got about 2,800 Facebook friends, and so a lot of things get posted on there that we just don't necessarily see them. I mean, the best way, contact us.
Right.
Let us know. If there's a need, let us know. We'll do all that we can to be there, to get there.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits, too, of having elders. It's more than just me. There's more than just you. There's more than just other church staff. We've got folks to do it, and good life group leaders, too.
Yeah. And I think that really leads us into Mark 8, which is the next mark is a biblical understanding and practice of prayer. I think Sunday nights for us have really become this time that we want the church to hear from one another. And so there's things that I think I wish we would have on our prayer list that we don't. And so I think if we could have a better, the congregation's giving us that information, we could have a better job of doing prayer for them on Sunday nights as well. But what do you think about prayer and where it is at Calvary?
I think this has been one of our weaknesses. If we were doing the same conversation a year ago, I would say we're just not doing well here. This is not one of our strengths. We really didn't have a dedicated prayer meeting time. We were trying to do, I don't know how long we did it, Charles, but like maybe a year and a half, 2 years, maybe we were doing early Sunday morning prayer time. The aim was before you go to your small group, before you go to your life group, before you go wherever you're serving on Sunday morning early, come in for about a 15-minute window. We're just going to pray. We got some participation in that. It kind of boiled down to basically the same group of people, 15
right.
or so people that were coming on a regular basis to do that. And maybe a third of those or half of those were staff or elders, and maybe 15 to 20. And that was good for what it was, but it just was not really hitting the mark church-wide. It wasn't something the whole church could be a part of. And so we really said, this is something we need to shore up. Now, real quick, I want to qualify this. On the practice of prayer, I'm thinking of two things. Obviously, there's your personal and private prayer life. And to the degree that that's important, which it clearly is, I think you've seen some good emphases, like our women's ministry last year and this year, really focusing on prayer. This year, prayer and fasting, and that's personal prayer and giving prayer guides and things. So our women's ministry, kudos to you taking some leadership in that and the initiative in that and pushing women forward to that and then drawing whole families, husbands, wives, and then the church into that too. And also with some small group open class things we've done, teaching prayer, teaching spiritual disciplines, those kind of things. I'm sure we'll be doing much more of that. That'll help you develop your personal prayer life.
Right.
Because there's no substitute for that. But for us, what we can specifically work on is what we do together. And so I think this one now, a year later, is trending upward. We got a long way to go to get where we want to be.
Yeah.
Like Charles, you can speak to kind of what we're trying to do on Sunday nights with prayer, how that fits into that. And you can talk about that. I'll tell them about what we're trying to do on Sunday mornings and how that fits in prayer.
Well, Sunday nights, we do want to have a time where we actually corporately pray together for the needs of the church. And I hope that's not just always the physical needs. I hope we get to the point where we're also praying for the children's ministry and for salvations in the children's ministry, or we're praying for big events, which we do pretty well, or mission trips, those kind of things that are Calvary life experiences. We want to pray for those corporately on Sunday nights and have that dedicated time to do that. What I hope we do there is, we don't have all night to do that. We have to keep it short just from the time aspect of being done, because there's things going on afterwards and all those kind of things. So, I hope we can just pray those things that are on the list very pointedly, and pray it and then move to the next one and pray it pointedly, so we can do more than we're doing. Right now, I think we're doing about 3 or 4, maybe 5. I would love to get that where we could do 10 or 12 a night, actual pray for things that but once again, that's back to what I mentioned the first. The congregation's got to tell us what those things are. Karen is very eager to get that on the list for us, but we have to know what those things are. So I'd love to hear somebody put on there that they want us to pray for their grandson who's lost, and us pray for that, or pray for, you know, just different types of things that the church family's praying for. But like I said, it's got to be pointed, and we got to get through them if we want to be able to pray for those many things. But I think it informs the church. It lets us know how to pray. And then another part that I mention every week is I think it's important is that we have that birthday list so that we're actually praying for each other. You know, I hope people are doing that, man, what an awesome thought that somebody is praying for you on your birthday. And not just somebody, the whole church is.
Take that with you. There's a list of people. Pray for them on those days.
Pray for those people. And I think it's just very helpful. It helps us to know each other. It helps us to care for one another. I think it opens our heart to each other's hurts and everything that's going on in the lives of people if we'll pray for each other in that way, just that once a year. And hopefully we can do more than that. We want to get more and more rich in how we do that, more ways to do it to enrich it. But I just hope that the people see that's the time that we, the Calvary family, is praying for the needs of the family.
And it, like you said, it does, it informs, it keeps them close to our missions and our missionaries and our partners as we're really praying for them specifically. And I'll tell you how this can have an effect. This is a story sort of in reverse, the power of this, of praying for not only the needs in our own body, but praying for those people that we care about and these partners that we support and these missions we're involved with on the other side of the globe. When my son Mark was in the hospital for 3 weeks, I got a message after their Sunday morning service, where Pastor Moses in Kenya and their Sunday morning service, their people were praying for Mark.
Wow.
So, you know, that was so powerful to me. He sent me the video of them praying, and I thought, man, that's it. That's the body of Christ at work. So there are times we're going to be praying for Moses. We're going to be praying for his family and our other mission partners and everything. So I think that part's great. Now, Sunday morning, I hope you have noticed this. I hope our folks have noticed this. And if your church is not doing this, something I would really strongly urge you to do. We, for the last year and a half or so, I would say, I don't have an exact timeline on it, have been much more intentional about focused prayer times in our Sunday morning service. I just really felt convicted that we were doing some things well. We're giving a lot of attention to musical worship. We're giving a lot of time to worship through the Word and preaching and reading Scripture, but just not enough attention to prayer on its own, not prayer to start a message or to begin a service or end a service, but just prayer. So I hope you're noticing that. We try to be very intentional with praying in accordance to Scripture. We're praying prayers of repentance and confession, prayers of adoration, prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of intercession for each other, prayers of just petition, bringing our needs before God. Some of these prayers are extemporaneous, and people just pray and just belt it out. Sometimes those prayers are well thought out and constructed before, and someone will put those to pen and paper. But really praying with sincerity and intentionality and diligence, I hope our folks have noticed that prayer has become a much more critical part of what we do on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, and the book that we're referencing here, Nine Marks of the Healthy Church, Dever goes into that in his chapter on prayer about the different types of prayer there for corporate prayer, you know, because as we went to one of their services when we did the weekender, the Sunday night service for them is pretty much spontaneous prayer, where an individual may not know they're praying until they start to pray, until they ask to, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's very spontaneous. But then we're there on Sunday morning, and in the Sunday morning service, I mean, we heard a prayer that would just, I mean, almost made you want to stand up and shout from someone who had really thought about the Scriptures of the day, had thought about how the Scripture was going to fit into their prayer, and they prayed that Scripture. And I mean, it was amazing to hear that kind of prayer. And I hope people sense that, you know, that the contemplative style of prayer in the morning, of really wanting to be theologically sound and really give some weight to how we're praying to God because who God is, I guess almost the transcendence nature of that in
the
morning.
Yeah, because you're not just praying by yourself. And those kind of prayers, you're praying for and with an entire congregation. We're right there with you. And that rich prayer like that, man, that just draws us all in. That just takes us right to God's throne room, and we're right there with you. So, yeah, I feel you on that.
Yeah, so, all right, so that's prayer. I think you said it's on the move up. So
getting
that's
better.
That's very nice. I hope people come Sunday night, man. We had a good crowd this past week. Come be a part of that service. That is a Calvary family service, and we would love for everybody. Every church member should be there if they can on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's good stuff is happening there.
All right, Mark number nine, our last one, a biblical understanding and practice of missions. So we don't have Tommy here with us, but we can talk about missions and where you think missions, our mission efforts are for Calvary right now. What do you think?
My take would be, and I've been here at Calvary for 12 years now, I would say where we are in terms of a biblical understanding and right practice of missions is probably, at least in the last 12 years, is at a peak. I'm not saying it's the highest it's going to get or as good as it can be, but I think this is one where we have steadily improved. One, we've got good, healthy, long-term partnerships.
Yeah.
So we have confidence in the people that we're working with. We have people, a variety of people, a number of different people that have been on the fields in these places with these ministries. We're starting to see now good fruit coming from this, just good results that are healthy. We feel good about what we're doing. I think we still would love to see more of our people involved in local ministries and missions.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we've got a lot of people out there. I mean, I don't want to try to name names. I will surely leave people out. But in some critical ministries in our community, I mean, we're there strong.
Right.
We have a presence there. We've got some other things to consider. Like one of the things we're doing right now, Tommy's teaching an open class on our philosophy of missions. We'd love to get everybody on board with that. If you're going on a short-term mission trip with Calvary, we want you to know what it is we're trying to do here, why we do it the way we do it, why we choose who we choose, and that sort of thing. So trying to step that up. I think as far as elders, we're working on some things, some recommendations we'll bring back to the church sometime late in the year, probably in the fall, about how we might want to adjust some of our missions giving and try to be more targeted, more focused with that, because we just really want to be as efficient and effective as we can. We want to put the money in the best places we possibly can, that sort of thing. But I think overall, this part has been solid. I think, we're seeing good fruits there. We don't just simply give our money away blindly and just pray and hope good things are happening there. We're there. We're invested in it. I think the next big phase for us in terms of missions that I would love to see our church just blossom into would be church planting and church replanting, that we'd see that as our missions, starting healthy, biblically sound, gospel-centered, Holy Spirit-filled, just solid churches of whatever size. So I hope that'll be our next big phase. But I think we're doing pretty good on that. I mean, you've been to a lot of our mission places and partnerships, and of course you're close to them in terms of weekly contact and support and that sort of thing. How do you think we're doing on it?
Well, I would agree with you. I think we're at a high point now, but I think we're not anywhere close to where we could be. I mean, I think there's just so many more things that this size congregation, this congregation, frankly, that's blessed financially like we are, that could be doing more in the world of missions. I'm thankful for those that we have found and the partnerships out there who have our same philosophy of church is awesome. I said earlier last week that I just got back from Guatemala just to see a ministry there with Brett and Leah and Jose and Aureli that really have the same idea of what church is that we do. It's just so helpful to go teach in and encourage them and just really feel like you're almost going back in the New Testament and seeing, Paul and those other missionaries go back to churches that they started, and just be among people who see church the same way we do. And I think that's the same way I'm looking forward to going to Kenya in the summer this year and be with Moses and see the things that he's doing there. And so I just think there's a lot that we are involved in, but I think it's all very healthy. We're not trying to build buildings. We're not trying to do things across the world that just leave a big footprint that don't have actual spiritual growth and a long-term response to that. I think that was a big change for us, was to go into places and say, no, we're not going to tell you what we want to do. We want to see who the people are here who are doing ministry, and we want to help them. We want to encourage them. I think that's our philosophy in all those places. And so I'm very thankful for Tommy's leadership in that. And I just think missions is doing well. But like I said, I think there's just a lot more that we all could do because of what God's blessed us with. And I hope that's how we see it.
I know we're working right now on bettering our communication. Some of the feedback we get is, I didn't know anything about that, or I didn't know we were doing anything there. This is not the answer to that completely, but coming on Sunday nights would go a long way to helping that, because we do talk about these mission partners regularly. Yeah. We focus on at least one a month that we're praying for. But we're trying to do a better job just keeping that in front of people. And, you know, that can be a double-edged sword sometimes. Like, I'm a little sensitive to, I don't want to just come across, like, on Sunday morning service and things that are going to be broadcast publicly, like we're just bragging on ourselves. We're not, but I want you to be aware of what we're doing. But also, I think to your point of, we could be doing a lot more. We really want to see more of our folks step up into some short-term mission opportunities. We're still working on kind of a sort of a standard baseline philosophy of maybe some different tiers of difficulty, challenge for mission projects. So there are some that are rather short and fairly close by that you could take your family with. There are some that are fairly challenging. I mean, we're sending some folks off to Iraq this year. I'll be going to India. We have another team that'll be going to India before me in the summer. I'll be going in the fall. You know, we do go to Kenya. We go to Guatemala. Some of those are a little bit more challenging. But whatever your gifts are and abilities are, there's a place for you. We can find a spot for you. And I just think that's so healthy for us as a church to do that. And I think, like you said, I think we're doing it with more and more soundness. What we're trying to accomplish there. These mission projects that we do are not, as much as we can help, they're not self-serving. So I can say this easier on a podcast maybe than I could say it in a message or to someone face-to-face even. We really try not to do those mission projects that just make us feel good about ourselves so we can pat ourselves on the back. Yeah. We really are trying to serve healthy ministries and churches or help them become healthier and just doing that in a way that just honors God wherever they are. So, I think that's a good one for us. So I'd give us a pretty good grade on that one.
Yeah. And even, as we do this podcast this Sunday night, we have our church planner, Steve Chambers. Steve and Tony will be here with us. And so Steve's going to preach, and looking forward to hearing what he's got to say to us from the Word. But then after that, after the service, he's going to have a little reception down at the Rock area, the Rock Lobby, and we'll have some food down there. Missions committee's handling that, and so we invite anybody that would come and want to hear what's going on in New York from our church planner to come be a part of that and just hear from Steve's heart. It gives him a chance to, because we know he's going to do that either way. He's going to either do it in the message or then, so he's decided probably wisely to have a separate time where he can really talk about the mission of his church up there is the church startup in New York. So I'm excited about seeing them and hearing what they've got going on too. Yeah.
Next month, Michael Carroll's coming, one of our church partners in Vermont, and you'll be able to hear what they're doing, what his church is doing, what those needs are. So yeah, just trying to keep those things in front of people all the time and all the time praying. And let me plant this thought in your mind, if this is you listening. All the time we're praying that God would call out somebody else, another person, another family, to either at least short-term missions, but maybe something long-term. God's calling you out to be part of a church plant or a mission endeavor or to go overseas for the summer or, you know, whatever it may be, just always praying that God will be sending out. You know, that, man, Charles, when, I guess to be fair in our assessment of how we're doing with the practice of missions, I'll feel like we've sort of reached that next level up when we see more of our folks going out.
Yeah.
More of our people feeling called out, I want to go. So whether that's church planting, replanting, short-term missions, long-term missions, internships, summers given, if you're a school teacher or a college student and you can be off for the summer, those kind of things. The more of our folks we see sent out, the better we'll know we're doing with a right understanding of missions.
Yeah, and the missions committee, Tommy, me, you, we want to hear those things. So if you're having those pulls on your heart, please come talk to us and let us help you pray through that and see what we can do to help you. We would love to do that to get, like you said, more of our people doing missions, whatever level that God's called them to do.
Yeah, and we're trying to set up the structures to accommodate that. You know, that's some of the things we're talking about at Elders. How do we fund those things? How do we support those things and those things that God is doing and calling our people to do? So, yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
All right, so, well, there's all 9 marks and our assessment of it. I guess if I had to give just a sentence summary, I think we're pretty positive about Calvary, and I think that's a good thing, that we don't think we're there yet. We don't think that we have all these down, and neither do we think this is the only things that we have to work on. But I think it's a good list just to say, you know, how is God using us? What are some things we need to be praying about how to do better? But thankfully, I'm happy to be a part of a healthy church that really is driving in these waters.
Yeah, I feel like as I look at this list, it is we're sitting here in a room right now. We've got them on a screen right here in front of us. These 9 marks. I think we're trending upward in all of them. But this is something you need to know. We're always striving to be better. So in each of these, we're always looking, how can we improve on this? And we know there's some areas where we're stronger than others. And pray for us, and we're praying, too, to be aware of those, you know, those gaps or those inequities. But you know, we're praying that we'll be more effective in our communication of the Word and clear on the gospel. And we'll see more people coming to Christ through evangelistic efforts. That we'll see a healthy, strong church membership that really looks and acts like family together, that will encourage one another and challenge one another to live faithfully to God and in that sense discipline each other that way, and that will grow rightly, that God will send numerical growth but healthy spiritual growth, and we'll do all this in the right way, and you know that we'll focus on prayer well and missions well and discipleship well. So yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
All right, well that'll do it for this podcast, and if you've got something you want us to talk about, discuss, if you'll just send us an email at podcast@calvarydothan.com. We would love to hear from you. We have heard from, I've heard from some folks just in talks about different things. So you can do it that way too. Just come and ask me and Paul to discuss something. We'd love to do that. But remember, we are for God, for Dothan, and for the world.